Welcome back to the Wisdom Roundtable. We are in Proverbs 20, and with me at the table this time is my good buddy Peyton Jones. Peyton, welcome back to the table.
Hey, hey, hey.
And joining us all the way from Wales, Barry Waters. How you doing?
Hey, it's lovely to be back. It's been a little while, and it's a pleasure to be back.
Guys, we are going to dig into some wisdom here in chapter 20. We each picked a couple of verses, and I picked the first one because I like verse 1 very much. Wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. Now, this is a tricky verse, clearly a warning against the dangers of alcohol. But I want to start with a little question. The Bible sometimes seems to say that alcohol is terrible and dangerous. Other times seems to say is wonderful and a blessing from God. So, which is it? Is it a mixed message? I want to hear from you guys. Peyton, what do you think?
I think it's a two-edged sword. It's like all things in God's creation has to be taken with moderation. God might have included things for a certain purpose, but we can distort them or corrupt them.
The wonderful thing in the Bible is that we see both, and both are true. The wine is described as a blessing. That is true. It is a source of joy. It brings joy into a gathering, and that's precisely what you see in both the Old and the New Testament. But then you have these warnings about the dangers of alcohol, and basically what I see here is that God treats his children in such a way that he doesn't childproof the house. He allows us to use sharp knives, which are incredible tools, but he also reminds us that they're dangerous. He lets us light the stove with a match, and he gives us guidance and wisdom, and that's what Proverbs is for. So let's dig in here specifically. Wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Mockers will get you to do something stupid, and then they'll laugh at you while you're bleeding. Wine is that mocker. Wine can be, when used inappropriately, will mock you. It will tempt you into doing something stupid, and then it'll mock you after you do it and say, I told you you're an idiot. And beer is a brawler. How do you think, Barry, I'm going to ask you, how do you think beer can be a brawler? What's the connection?
Well, you know, Wales is a very working class place. And, you know, if somebody has too many pints down the pub on a Friday or Saturday night, you know, there's a good chance that there's going to be fisticuffs. You know, there's going to be, you know, people are going to be throwing, you know, haymakers. So, yeah, if you drink too much beer, definitely, you know, and if you've got that fight in you, you're going to end up getting into fights.
Beer makes your mouth write checks that your body can't cash.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. And I love that it says that beer is the brawler. Recognize that you're stepping in with a fighter, and it will fight you, and it'll win. It'll make you lose. The last part of the proverb says, whoever is led astray by them is not wise. And I think the key there is that when alcohol is doing the leading, then you're in trouble. Paul in the New Testament says, don't get drunk, which leads to debauchery. It's about being led by the alcohol. That's where you lose your self-control, and that's when you're in real danger. All right, we got to keep moving and bounce around, just as Proverbs loves to do. Barry, you picked a verse in, I believe, verse 4. What do you got for us?
So, yes, I've got this one. And I picked this one mainly because it's got a fantastic word in it. So, sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time they look but find nothing. And, you know, sluggards, what a great word. But apart from that, the reasons I sort of picked this one, because it sort of spoke to me a little bit because of the generation that I'm a part of, which is the millennials. I'm an elder millennial. I was just on the cusp of missing out on being Gen X, but I am officially a millennial. But we're often considered sort of an entitled generation, a generation of people that don't want to work hard and things like that. And I certainly relate to that. I grew up watching TV and movies where the characters in them, you know, like a Ferris Bueller type character, you know, that just messes around, doesn't really work particularly hard, but at the end of the day, still gets the girl, still wins the day, you know. You know, the reality of that is that's all false. You know, I remember I didn't work particularly hard in school, and my first couple of jobs that I had, I would do my absolute best to do as little work as work as I possibly could. And it didn't work out particularly well for me. And I learned a lesson there. And you know, this verse says, you know, the sluggards, they don't plow in season, but then, you know, they're still expecting there to be a harvest. And the more you put into something, the more you get out of it. It's a simple, you know, truth of life. The more you study a subject, the more you'll know, the more you exercise, the more fit you'll be, the more time you put into relationships, whether that be with your wife or your friends, and even your time you put in with God and reading the Bible and praying, the more you will get out of it. And so don't be a sluggard and still expect a harvest.
Okay, we're going to keep moving and give Peyton the next verse, who's taken to the end of the chapter, verse 29. Peyton, what do you got?
Yeah, verse 29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair." And gosh, I wish I had hair. I'd take it of any color.
I don't want it.
I've always had a joke that ministry at a young age made my hair fall out, but church planting turned what little I had left white. And the reality is, to me, being an old soul, I've always been an old soul since I was a kid, I don't really fear getting old. I feel like my body's just catching up. But I love how the proverb just says, the glory of young men is their physical prowess. And we see that a lot on social media. It's impressive to look at, and it's often paraded. Uh-huh. But the gray hair is showing that a man has trained inwardly, that the soul has been honed and crafted through experiences, lessons, hard fought, and hard won. And now, you can waste your experiences, so you just grow old and don't mature. But Proverbs is assuming that there's an opportunity for wisdom here, that the longer we've lived, the more splendorous our soul becomes. And our gray hairs are like, they're like a crown, like a badge of honor that you've been walking with God and growing in His wisdom all those years.
Yeah, people will tell me sometimes you don't look old enough to be a grandpa. I'm recently a granddad and proud of it. But I always like to say I earned my years. Don't take that away from me. I don't mind being my age. I worked hard to get here. We're going to do another verse. I'm going to skip to verse 5. Back to verse 5. The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. Great verse. The purposes in your heart, why you do what you do. It says they're deep waters. In other words, there's kind of a mystery to why am I doing this thing? Why am I chasing after what I'm pursuing? But one who has insight draws them out. A person who can look into things will look into their own heart and draw out the real drive behind their actions and understand why they're doing what they're doing. Oftentimes, we're going about getting what we want the wrong way. Oftentimes God has put a desire in our heart. Our flesh misdirects it and we go chasing after sin when what we really need to fill that void is God Himself. But when we draw out the purposes in our heart, then we can go after them and find them in the right way. Well, I would love to discuss that one a little more, but we are running low on time. I got time. I'm going to give time for one more. Peyton, why don't you take us to verse 30?
Blows that wound cleanse away evil. Strokes make clean the innermost parts. Now, this verse speaks to the importance of learning to suffer well. And I kept this verse close to me in growing up. It was one of the first life verses I took because it leapt off the page to me the first time I read it. And you both know this. Certain verses become like old friends or well-worn travel companions. And I've ridden shotgun with this one for many years. It accompanied me through heartache with Andrea, going through infertility, having my teeth kicked in by churches, suffering the disappointment of people close to me and betrayal at times. And all of this sucked at the time, but it made me who I am today. And I suffered a lot of pain and hardship as a kid, which is why as a teenager, this jumped out at me. But what didn't kill me made me tougher. And if you've ever wondered if that saying was biblical, this is the biblical version of it. Obi-Wan's version was, "Strike me down and I shall become more powerful than you can ever imagine." So if you want to be strong, don't dodge the punches. Don't run from every bit of suffering. Take the hits like Rocky said, because it ain't how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward or something like that. Because blows that cleanse away evil mean that suffering can be very sanctifying. Jesus suffered, we know that, and he was God's chosen one. So we shouldn't be afraid to follow his example. If suffering is going to help me surrender more to God and cleanse away evil from my soul, I'm in.
Nice. All right, guys, that is all the time we have for Proverbs 20. Thanks so much for joining me at the round table. Peyton, Barry, I hope to see you guys back here at the table soon.
Thanks for having us, bud.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.